Revelation chapter 21. This morning we'll read responsively verses 21 through verse 5 of chapter 22. We're going to start in Revelations 21, and we're going to read all the way through Revelations 22, verse number 5. We'll read responsively this morning. I'll read verse 21, you join me in verse 22, all the way through verse number 5 of chapter 22. The Bible says in Revelation 21:21, "And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was one of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall be shut all by day, for there shall be no night there. And there shall be glory and honor of all the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on the other side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruit, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servant shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever." And let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that every time, Lord, we hear your word taught, Lord, your Holy Spirit's power is present and ready to do a work in our lives. Lord, this morning may we be yielded to that Spirit. Lord, the singing has been wonderful. Lord, the fellowship has been great. Lord, we've heard some stirring testimonies, but Lord, the most important part of this morning's service is the preaching of God's word. Lord, please use our man of God, fill him with your power as he preaches. But Lord, may we be yielded to you, Lord, to take the truth that will be presented this morning, to go out and to put into action in our lives today. Lord, we ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Today, let me say it this way. As a preacher, as a pastor, to me, church is trying to give everybody a balanced diet. If all church is for somebody to get up and say some words that nobody understands and sound spiritual, what good was it? My preacher taught me a long time ago, you're supposed to put the peanut butter on the bottom shelf so everybody can reach it. You say, why? Because peanut butter's good, amen? And it's kind of like a wife would choose the menu for her family, kind of try to balance things out, but I work hard at it. Sometimes I skin you. Sometimes I preach hard. Sometimes I preach doctrinal type messages to instruct. And there's times I'm trying to encourage. But today, a little bit different. Today's going to be one of those days that we just eat dessert today. Amen. Bless God when we get to heaven, we can eat all the dessert we want and not get fat. But until then, I'll be like the Apostle Paul and buffet my body every day. That's the word buffet, just so you know. There is so much to be thankful for, but I'll be honest with you. I'm kind of one of those days where I'll preach that I look forward to going to heaven someday. You know, there's times we ought to take time to think ahead. Our world thinks about today. We think about what's going to happen at lunch. That's about as far as we look ahead. But we ought to live as though we're going to live a long time. But may I say this, it could be the day the Lord comes back. I saw Miss Karen as she came in this morning. She said, he's coming back soon. I'm thinking I'm ready to go. Perfect day for it. Amen. Thank God for it. we read here in Revelation 21, it talks about the streets of gold, the gates of pearl, no sickness and no pain, no more death, no more sorrow. We'll have an eternal reunion with our friends and our families and our loved ones and the old folks who have gone on before. May I say something? Heaven's a real place. Heaven's just like earth is. It's a real place. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And I happen to believe what he says better than what any man can think of. It's not a place where you're going to sit on clouds sprinkling spoofle dust forever. It's a real place. I think we took about 21, 22 weeks on Wednesday night, and I taught on the topic of heaven on Wednesday nights for many, 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 many months few years ago. I can't tell you that I won't cross over into some of those lessons, but for some of you, you weren't here. For others of you, you long forgot it, so don't worry about it. It'll be just like it was new. Matter of fact, you can hide your own Easter eggs this year, but you better leave a map so you know where you left them. Today, we could talk a lot about what will be in heaven. I'm going to take a little different approach today. Today, I want to focus on what we can look forward to in heaven that won't be there. Do you ever think that some of the greatness of heaven isn't just what is there, but what will not be there? Do you realize that some of the best things about heaven is what will not be there? And that's kind of what I want to talk to you today about. But first of all, I have to teach you for about 5 minutes, and this will help you. Do you realize there are four heavens in the Bible? If you go to Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It doesn't say the heaven. It says the heavens, plural. You say, why is that? Because in the Bible, there are four heavens. You have our immediate atmosphere, which is called heaven. Then you have what we would call space, the galaxies where they're at and everything. That is the second heaven. Then you have the third heaven. That's where God and the angels and the saints of God are today. But the Bible says in Revelation chapter 21, at the beginning of the chapter, we did not read it, but you can go back and read it later. The Bible says there was a new heaven and a new earth. So there's your fourth heaven. So the first heaven is the atmosphere. The second heaven is space. The third heaven is where God is now. And the fourth heaven will be the new heaven in the end time. You say, why will there be a new heaven? Because there was sin in the old heaven. Yes, that's where Lucifer was, and he was cast out of. It's also where, according to the scripture, there are two people that never died and went there. And that would be Elijah and Enoch. They will be the two witnesses that come back in the book of Revelation and preach. And that's where the great revival during the beginning parts of the tribulation will be for 3.5 years. And they will come and they will preach that revival. But they left earth to go to heaven, and they're there now. By the way, they're sinners, as is appointed unto man once to die. They have not yet died, but they will die when they come back, as the Bible talks about, that they will kill them and lay them in the streets, and the news media will show their bodies laying in the streets for 3 days, but on that fourth morning when they're showing their bodies, they're going to get up and have a personal rapture. I'm going to scare the bejeebers out of the world again. That was one of those Greek words, bejeebers, all right? It's... Hey, I took a lot of Greek. I paid him a lot of food for all that money. But anyway, you got to realize there are four heavens then. So you have our atmosphere, space, where heaven is now. Then there'll be a new heaven. And you say, that's a little confusing, preacher. I'll help you with it here in a moment. But I want you to understand why the new heaven. take your, if you're there in Revelation 21, go back just a little bit to chapter 20. And you'll see in verse number 11. Now, look at me for a second. After you find it, look at me. That way I know at least you're awake. You have what takes place after the rapture takes place. There'll be a period of 7 years, 3.5 years calm, 3.5 years of total judgment of God here on earth, while we Christians are in heaven at the marriage feast of the Lamb, also at what we would call the Bema seat or the judgment seat of Christ. That's where we receive our rewards, our crowns, and when we come back with him, at the end of that 7 years, Jesus establishes the millennial kingdom and we rule and reign with him here on earth. That's what that time frame is. Then the Bible says the devil will be loosed for a season. And then we have what is called the Great White Throne Judgment. That's where every lost person who has ever died and gone to hell or who has ever lived that did not get saved and is dead, God brings them and they receive their eternal damnation, and their degree of hell is given to them and they're cast into hell for eternity from there. Revelation chapter 20, look at verse number 11. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. The heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Verse number 1, chapter 21. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven, the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Now, I'll stop right there. Say, why is that? Because all of the penalty of sin and everything has been cared for. And because in that third heaven where God is, there has been sin, it has to be done away with, because sin brings what? Death. There is a punishment on all sin, which is death. Therefore, there has to be a new heaven, because the old heaven can't exist forever because sin was there. So that's why it says the heavens passed away and there was a new heaven. Have you ever heard the term when somebody dies, they call it they passed away? That's where they get it. It is literally the word death. Now, I want to share just I think I've got 3 or 4 things that I've got time for today that I'll give you. The things that we can look forward to that will not be in heaven. And it may surprise you. I want you to look at Revelation 21, verse number 22. The Bible says, and I saw no temple therein. And I saw no temple therein. That's an interesting statement. Did you know there will be no temple in heaven? Now, by the way, there's no temple today. We have the church. There's a difference in the church and the temple. The temple is the Old Testament tabernacle. It became permanent when Solomon built the temple. But it was the tabernacle from the wilderness with Moses. So it went from the tabernacle to the temple. And the furniture of the tabernacle is an identical replica of the one that is in heaven that is there now, according to the book of Hebrews. Not going to take time to turn there. But I want you to notice something. The Bible says that the Old Testament tabernacle, the temple, was done away. By the way, according to Jesus, it was done away with at Calvary. That's why Jesus, while he was on earth, started the church. You say, why is that, preacher? Because the temple was pointing to Jesus. Everything about it pointed to Calvary. Brother Josh, if you'll stand up and face this direction, stand at the end of the platform there, don't take a dive. If Brother Josh represents the New Testament, And I represent the Old Testament, and the pulpit represents Calvary. In the Old Testament, people got saved by looking ahead to Calvary. In the New Testament, we get saved by looking back at Calvary. But God needed to hide the gospel from the devil. So he coded it through the Levitical priesthood, through the Old Testament things, and all of those things were the sacrifices. They pointed to Jesus. The sacrifices didn't save anybody. They were a picture of what Jesus would do one day. Then Jesus came. We know it as Palm Sunday. And on Palm Sunday, they brought him into the city and they were laying down palm fronds singing, "Hosanna, Hosanna," which means king, our new king. And you know what happened on Palm Sunday? He went to the temple. He made a cat of nine tails and went in, started whooping the snot out of them and kicking over the tables of the money changers. And they got mad and he said, "Look, I'll destroy this temple and raise it the third day." Well, on Wednesday of the same week, they crucified him and he resurrected on Sunday morning. But if you go to Colossians 2, it says that all of the holy days, all of the Levitical priesthood, all those things were nailed to the cross and done away with. Jesus fulfilled them all. He was our high priest who entered once into the holy place. We didn't need all of the representation. You say, well, why did God hide it? The mystery of the gospel. The mystery of the gospel was not the mystery to man. The mystery of the gospel was the mystery that it was to the devil, because the devil was used to kill Jesus. The Bible also says, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. It's in reference to the devil and his angels. So the gospel was hid from the devil so that God could use the devil to kill Jesus. Now watch this. The temple was done away with. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 19. Thank you, Brother Josh. What know ye not that your body is not your own? You're bought with a price. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. We no longer have an Old Testament tabernacle. That's why we don't observe the Levitical priesthood. Jesus took care of all that. I'm sorry, folks. I'm not wearing a dress. You can have all that you want, but it would be indecent exposure for sure. It's just not happening. And by the way, it's unnecessary. I'm not making fun of anybody, but all of those things were cared for at Calvary. We don't need those things anymore. The equivalent in the church of the Old Testament sacrifices is the Lord's Supper. Broken body, shed blood. It's the same thing. One was more, I'll use the word graphic, because it had not yet happened. Now that it's happened, we have it recorded, we read it, we see it, we had first-hand testimony of those that saw it. Then we have the Lord's Supper, which is far less graphic as far as bloodiness, so to speak, and death. But wait a minute, it's the same thing. Just like we look ahead to the rapture someday. There people think we're nuts. Well, when it takes place, they're going to say, "Shazam, I should have listened." But it's there. Now, realize, God says there will be no temple there. There's no Old Testament temple, but the body of the believer can no longer, Our earthly body, our mortal body, cannot dwell in heaven for eternity. It's destined for death. So when we die, we go to heaven and we get a new body. Aren't you glad of that? I'm hoping the next one doesn't hurt like this one's starting to. Trade it in on a newer model, please. You see, there's no need for a temple, because the sum total of our sin is paid for. When we get there, there's no penalty on our sin because it's already been paid for. Now, watch this, and this will help you. Because of all this, God the Father, according to Revelation 21:22, and Jesus the Lamb are the temple. Notice what it says. And I saw no temple therein. For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. The Lamb is a representation of the blood for salvation. That's why Jesus was the Lamb of God. Watch this. He died as the Lamb of God. He resurrected as our high priest. He paid the price, but he also took it, put it on the mercy seat in heaven. And only the high priest could do that. That's why Jesus was not of the tribe of Levi. He did away with the Levitical priesthood. He was of the tribe of Judah, of which there was not a priesthood. Hebrews chapter 10. Now, because of all this, the Lamb and the Father are the temple because they are the ones who took care of sin's penalty for us. And because there is no more sin, no more penalty on sin, there is no more need for a temple. By the way, there's no church in heaven. You say, what do you mean? The Bible says that when we get there, we become his bride. Guess what? Can't do away with the bride. There's no such thing as a universal church. Jesus started churches, not a universal church. That's Catholic. That's what the word Catholic means. It means universal, one world. Well, guess what? Watch this. The church is not the temple, and the church becomes the bride, so it can't be gotten rid of, but there is no temple. Praise God, there's no temple in heaven. There'll be no what we would call formal ritualism. There's no need for it. Now, we're not real formal around here anyway. I was telling Steve and his dear wife, now, folks, we're just kind of plain meat and taters around here, but meat and taters is pretty good. I'll promise you that. I've lived pretty healthily on meat and taters for a long time. But I want you to know something. We don't impress. Religion is man telling God how God has to accept man. Christianity is us doing what God said. Too many churches, too many preachers want to tell man what man has to do so that man can impress God and hopefully merit their own way into heaven. Wrong answer. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. Guess what? All of us are sinners. And all of us, because we're sinners, are going to die. And because of that, we deserve death and hell. But Jesus came and paid the price for us, so we didn't have to do that. We have no right to tell God how God must accept us. Well, I joined the church. I did this. I went to these classes. I got baptized. I did all these good things. God, hopefully my good outweighs the bad. You won't happen. As is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. It is not just the absence of bad, it's the presence of righteousness. And he says in the book of Isaiah, our righteousness is as filthy rags. Even the good we do is tainted by sin. It's tainted with pride. According to the book of Jude, that was gone in the way of Cain. God came to Cain and Abel and said, look, I require a blood sacrifice. Cain brought of the fruit of the ground, and God said, I can't accept that. I don't have respect for that. You need to trade that for a blood sacrifice. And Cain looked at God and said, God, I won't do it. And God said, Cain, I have a sin offering crouched behind the door. Open the door. It'll jump into your arms. I'll even give you the sacrifice. He said, not doing it. My way or no way. And God says in Jude that we have gone in the way of Cain. We've told God how God must accept us instead of doing what God did for us. Oh, by the way, he did give us the Lamb. His name is Jesus. He gave us even the faith necessary to get saved. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that faith is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You go to Romans chapter 12, verse number 3. It says, God hath given to every man the measure of faith. God even gives us the faith we need to get saved. When that faith matches with the truth and we yield to it, we have salvation. There will be no temple in heaven. Number 2, I'm about to shout. I don't have any Pentecostal blood in me, but I sure got some old-fashioned Baptist in me. These get progressively, this isn't good grammatically, gooder and gooder, but I'm about to have a spell. Amen? There will be no memory of any sin or any wrong in heaven. But it'll be in the new heaven. There will be no memory of sin in the new heaven. I want you to notice all the judgment for sin has taken place in Revelation chapter 20. Look at Revelation chapter 21, verse number 4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Is that in heaven number 3 or heaven number 4? That's heaven number 4. I can't tell you that there won't be tears in the third heaven. I'm not telling you there will be. I know that they're wiped away in the new heaven, according to Revelation chapter 21, verse number 4. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Say, why is that? Because the great white throne judgment is done. It is not until after the great white throne judgment that all those things are passed away and all things become new. But may I say this? Look at verse number 27. And there shall in no wise enter into it, what's that? That new heaven. Anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. God says there's not going to be anything that will defile. There'll be no abomination and there'll be no lying. Wouldn't it be great to live in a place where there's no lying? You won't even lie to yourself. Folks, let's face it. We lie to ourselves way too much. Oh, I'll be okay. It'll be all right. Liar, liar. Kind of like when your parents used to spank you. This is hurting me more than it is you. There ain't no way. You ain't facing what I'm facing right now. My dad never said that, but mom did, but dad didn't. Wait a minute. That word defileth means pollute, unclean, profane, unholy. Do you know that the new heaven, by the way, in the old heaven, that's where Lucifer was. That's where he said, I'll exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit in the seat of the Most High. I will be like God. And we had sin in heaven. There has been sin in the current heaven. But in the new heaven, watch this. The word abomination, hatred, detest, idolatry, disgusting, no lying. Watch this. God says, I'm going to take all those things and I'm going to wipe them away. Not only will they not happen, you will have no memory of it ever happening. You will have no ability to recall anything wrong, sinful, negative, disgusting, or polluting in your life that ever did take place. Whew. Now that ought to make some of you shout. Brother Bob, you better really shout. Brother Mike, 27-year-old commode hugging drunk, got saved. But you won't remember any of those sins. God's going to wipe it away from the memory banks. Now watch this. God says he will remove it from memory because it won't even be allowed to be entered in as a memory. Can I tell you something that's really got me wound up about this? Brother Mike, I'm about to shout. Brother Harry, if we're not going to remember sin and bad and wrong, guess what? At the end of the great white throne, God cast the devil into hell forever and ever. We won't even remember Satan. Now that's enough to make me want to really have a shout spell. I'm so sick and tired of the stinking devil and what he does to people. Tired of what sin does. Tired of what he brought to this world. We will have no memory even of Satan. Whew, that ought to make you excited. This may sound harsh to you, but there are those of us in here that know people who died without Christ and will be and are in hell. I can't imagine taking that with me throughout eternity. Guess what? You won't. Because after the great white throne judgment, God wipes that memory away. And you won't remember that loved one who is not there. That friend who is not there. That is God protecting you for eternity. By the way, you're not necessarily responsible for their salvation. You're responsible to get them the gospel. The fact that they die and go to hell is between them and their God, not between them and you. Everybody doing okay? I often say it this way. We're supposed to get the gospel out, kind of like the mailman. He might deliver all your bills, but if you don't pay your bills, the mailman doesn't have to pay them. You can throw them in the trash and you can get taken to court and everything else, but if you don't pay the bills, the mailman's still going to deliver the mail. Everybody doing okay? We're supposed to get the gospel out. We're not commanded to have people get saved. We're commanded to get the gospel out. Now, I believe the more we get it out, the more folks will get saved. I think we do a pretty bad job in our world today getting the gospel out. We want to milk it down and we want to bring the world's methods in to try to do God's message, and it doesn't work that way. This isn't just a book of message, it's a book of methods. That means this. We will witness the great white throne judgment, but God will wipe that memory away. And we will go throughout eternity never remembering anyone that we saw receive eternal damnation at the great white throne judgment. Thank God for that. Folks, I've watched a lot of people die. In almost 31 years of the ministry, and been preaching for 39 years, I've been at the bedside and the hospital bedside and hospice bedside and roadside of people who have died by the hundreds. I've watched people die and go to heaven, and it's one of the sweetest things you'll ever experience this side of heaven. I promise you. But I've been there a few times when people have died and gone to hell. I watched a man who had been in a coma, who was gasping for life, hanging by a thread. His eyes popped wide open. He sat straight up in bed and he began to scream, "Oh my God, I'm on fire. Oh my God, I'm on fire, I'm in hell. Oh God, I'm on fire, I'm in hell," and sat back and was gone. Screaming. That'll change your life. You say, "Do you really believe that, preacher?" Yeah, I do. I've had it more than once. Things that I could not even tell you in public. Let me challenge you for a moment. Listen to this very carefully. If there will be no memory of sin, and no memory of wrong, no memory of bad things in heaven, how about we work on memories that we can take to heaven with us? There's going to be a lot of people when they get to heaven and God wipes all those things away, you're going to be a blank slate for a while. You haven't done anything good in your life to take with you. I don't know about you, but Brother Bob, when I get to heaven, I don't want to lose step. I want to keep on running. I plan, no nail prints. I'm not perfect, trust me. I have my faults and my sins and my failures and my negativity just like everybody else does. But may I say this, I'm hoping I'm working enough to where I can take some of my memories with me. I don't want all of my memory wiped away. You know, kind of like when you get a new phone and you clear your old one. Some of you are going to be like that old phone and not the new phone. Blank. I'd like to be able to have some things be able to be imported into the new heaven. Like that little young lady that we worked so hard for and her family to get in and watch God change their life, and she surrendered to full-time Christian service. You say, why'd that happen? Because Mike and Arlene Schenenberger won Joe Heaney to the Lord years and years and years ago. Many, many, many years ago. That's something you can take to heaven with you. Did you know there are things you can take to heaven with you? Well, how about we start working hard enough in our life to be able to take some memories with us? Boy, that's good stuff. By the way, when you get there, you're not suddenly all-knowing. You don't become God. You lose your sin nature. You lose your memory of sin, but you don't know it all. Matter of fact, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 12, that we will be known as we are known here on earth. You won't lose your personality. Some of you, you're stuck with me. I'll be the pesky little preacher forever, amen? I just won't be sinful as I do it. See, sinful. Yeah, Alyssa thought I was sinful on Wednesday morning early. Brother Josh texted me. I was in my office, and he said, "Dad, we're getting ready to leave. Do you want to pray with everybody?" And so I walked out there, and she and Nadia were sitting on the bus, and I happened to walk up right next to it, Brother Bob, and they didn't see me coming. Say, what'd you do? Took my old hand, went pow, and I hit the glass on the side of that bus, and we had rapture practice. The bus went, dee-dee-dee-dee. I jump up on the bus, and Brother Juan's out there going, It was great. I talked with him for a moment, prayed with him, got off the bus, and they're watching me walk by. But after I passed, they turned their attention this way, and Alyssa got her water bottle and brought it up. Say, what were you doing? I turned around, came back. About time she got it up to her mouth, I went, again. She half-baptized Daniel. Say, did you turn around and look? I didn't need to. I knew what happened. Now, I still may be able to do that, but it won't be sinful there. Amen? I get it. But we will know we are redeemed. I don't even think we'll remember our own salvation, because we won't remember we needed to get saved. Whew. Now, that's enough to make you want to shout. We'll know we were redeemed. We'll be known as the redeemed, but we won't be able to remember what we were saved from. Whew. Thank God for what won't be in heaven. Number three, I've got to hurry here. There'll be no curse in heaven. Revelation chapter 22, verse number 3. The Bible says, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. Say, what is that curse? Take your Bible, turn to Galatians chapter 3. I want to show you what that curse is. Very quickly, Galatians chapter 3, look at verse number 10. For as many, Galatians 3:10, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all the things which are written in the book of the law to do them, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but that a man doeth, them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Now, that law, as I've said before, is not the Ten Commandments. Ten Commandments were civil law. Ten Commandments were brought about so that the Jews had a government system to establish by in the wilderness and when they got into Canaan land. That's why in America, we put the Ten Commandments at the courthouses when America claimed to be a Christian nation. Wasn't at the church house, it was at the courthouse, because it was civil law. That law, that cursed law, is the law of sin and death, according to the book of Romans. See, the law was, you can eat at any tree of the garden, except one. in the day you eat of it, you shall die. Then God cursed the earth. God cursed man. God cursed Satan. God cursed the woman. She gave him, or he gave her man. And God cursed those things, but when we get to the new heaven, there's no more curse. There'll be no curse on the earth. There'll be no curse on us as humans. And I'm not going to go into Genesis chapter 3, verses 16 through 19. You can read it later. But there won't be the emotional instability because of the curse. There won't be submission to anyone but God because of the curse. There'll be no sorrow in work. You won't complain about your job. There'll be no weeds, thank God, no thorns, no thistles. There'll be no sweat in heaven. Glory to God. There'll be no pain, no sickness, no death, no tears. There'll be no bloodshed. There'll be no pollution of any kind. Hey, it will be as God wanted it to be. There'll be no curse. Oh, the world, we're going to use up all of our resources. No, according to the Bible, the earth produces the resources we need. Oil is not a fossil fuel. Scientifically, biologically, impossible. Plant and animal matter does not decay into oil. It turns into dirt, not oil. And then let me ask you a question. How did it get that deep in the ground? Who buried them? It doesn't happen. Oil is a byproduct of the heat from the inside of the core of the earth, and it produces oil from that. It is not a fossil fuel. God put it there for man to use. Oh, we have global warming. Did you ever notice they always go to Antarctica in December, January, and February and talk about how it's melting? Do you realize that the South Pole has opposite seasons as the North Pole? It is summertime. It's supposed to be melting. Yes. Duh. Well, the oceans are going to rise because of the ice melt. Let me ask you a question. Let's do a science project. How many of you have ever filled your cup with ice and then put soda in it? Raise your hand. Did it ever spill out over the top? Same volume. Matter of fact, ice takes up more volume. If anything, if all the ice melts, the oceans will go down, not up. It's impossible. It's just like this coronavirus. Folks, I have talked to many medical doctors. The coronavirus is the fourth strain of the flu. That's all it is. We've had 6 deaths in America by coronavirus. We have over 900 deaths a day from the common flu. Just so you know, it is a fake media hype to scare the world to try to keep people under control. They're trying to control the markets. So you believe that? I know that. Because there's no curse, can I tell you one of the best things about heaven? There's not going to be any laws there. You won't have an IRS. Glory to God. They're going to be judged and thrown into anyway. you're not going to need any laws because there will be no sin there. You will be able to do what you want to do and it not be illegal because you won't have any ability to sin. Wouldn't that be great? There will be no need for laws because of no sin. God will be our king and we will happily do what he wants done. I must quit. I don't want to. There are 4 heavens. You have Earth's atmosphere. You have space. You have the current heaven. By the way, you find in the book of 2 Corinthians, or 1 Corinthians 13 talks, 2 Corinthians 13 talks about that Paul was caught up into the third heaven. That's the current heaven. But after the great white throne judgment, all that passes and there's a new heaven and a new earth. God remakes them and there'll be no sin there. And he says there's 3 things that won't be there in particular. No temple, there'll be no memory of sin, and there'll be no curse there. Give me 60 seconds. It would be tragic if you didn't make it there. Be tragic. Be tragic for people that we know and love to never know the wonderfulness of what heaven will be like. Say, what do we need to do? We need to get the gospel to every person. It's our job. You can't make them get saved, but we can preach the truth and not water it down. First of all, you got to make sure that you've trusted Christ as your Savior. Not your works, not your righteousness, His righteousness. But then we've got to go out and tell others. One of the greatest things in all the world is taking the gospel to somebody and watching them bow their head and trust Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Oh, how sweet. Every week of our life at this church, we've seen people get saved. Sometimes hundreds, sometimes dozens, sometimes one, but people are trusting Christ. Say, why is that? Because when the truth meets up with the faith that God has put into every man, eventually somebody's ready for it. I look around and see folks in here. I've preached funerals for your families. You're going to see your loved ones again. Brother Jimbo, we're going to see your brother again. Tough old critter. Please accept this in all the sincerity. And Brother Jimbo knows I mean this in love. I mean a real hard old redneck. Already lost a leg. He was dying. So addicted to alcohol, he had to have alcohol in the hospice care. Less than 2 weeks before he went to heaven, Loretta said, he's dying, preacher. You got to go see him or he's going to go to hell. He had already shot at preachers. I mean, he hated preachers. Trust me. I showed up and Jimbo goes, preacher. And walks out of the room. Thanks. I pulled the chair you were sitting in right up to the bed and I started talking to him. Open up that very book right there. I marched him down the Romans Road and showed him how Jesus loved him and how he was a sinner bound for hell and needed to trust Jesus Christ as a Savior. Bowed his head and trusted Christ as a Savior. Lord. Walked out and told Brother Jimbo, your brother just got saved. He said he did. I said he did. I didn't know this till the next day. He started calling me his preacher. He told Jimbo, go down to the desk and tell him I don't need that liquor anymore. I talked to the preacher. I don't need that stuff anymore. Whew. I never talked to him about it. Oh, about 10 days later, he died and went to heaven. Brother Jimbo, I preached his funeral out there behind his old trailer. Brother Jimbo built me a portable pulpit. He said, now, preacher, don't hit that thing like you do yours. It'll fall apart. There must have been about 50 people there gathered up. And there's only 6 cars, but there were 50 people. I told you he'd tough old redneck. There were more guns than there were people. And I'm not kidding, am I, Jimbo? One of them was mine. I got done preaching. I think we had like 30 people get saved at that funeral. Man walked up to me. He said, did my son get saved? I said, I don't know which one is. He said, the guy back there with 2 guns on. I said, which one? He pointed him out. I said, his hand and the lady next to him were the first 2 hands to go up. That man fell on his knees beside me. I did not know this, but he was a preacher. He said, that's my son and my daughter-in-law. He said, God used you to do something I couldn't do. So all you got to do is tell him the truth. Folks, heaven's going to be populated that way. But it'd be tragic if people that we knew, we never even gave them the gospel. How about we do our part? So that when we get there, they'll be there with us and they can look forward to the things that won't be there when we get to heaven. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. I wonder who would say, preacher, there's been a time in my life I have trusted Jesus Christ and that alone. Not my church, not anything I've done, but what Jesus did and that alone to take me to heaven. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Many, 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 many hands. Thank you. You may put them down. I would not embarrass you. Wouldn't call you out. I won't ask you to do anything. But you say, preacher, if I died today, I'm not 100% sure I'd go to heaven, but I'd like to know I'd go there. I won't embarrass you just like I did not them. But would you say, preacher, that's me. I don't know for sure, but I'd like to know. Would you raise your hand? All right. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere in that sermon, something I needed today? I needed that. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Scores and scores of hands. Thank you. You may put them down. In a moment, we'll stand to our feet. When we stand to our feet, the piano will begin to play. If the Lord touched your heart, how about you come kneel at an old-fashioned altar? If you say there's something I needed in that, preacher, how about you come get it at the altar today and tell the Lord what it was? If you've never been saved, you come. We'll take the Bible. In a moment, just a few moments, you'll know for sure you're on your way to heaven. If you've been saved and never baptized, we can take care of that. If you'd like to join our church, if you've been saved and baptized by immersion, we can take care of that today. Whatever the need is.